to maybe what we're going to speak on. Remember, we started on a series, I said with the Lord's help and with time and over time, we want to study a little bit on the fruit of the Spirit. And we started with love the last time we spoke. And let's go to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. Paul is writing this to the Galatians. And he says in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So again, as we studied a few weeks ago, we learned through salvation, we have been freed and liberated from the yoke of bondage. And when we got saved through the blood of Christ, we are freed from those sinful things that hold us in bondage. And through the gift of salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is our guide. Christ is not here on earth. God's not here in a physical form. But when Christ went back to heaven, what did he tell? What did he tell the disciples? What did he tell the disciples when he ascended, when he was ready to ascend to heaven? "I am going to leave you, but I'm going to send" who? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So he sent the Holy Spirit to guide and direct our lives while we live here on this earth. So in verse 16, Paul says, "Walk in the Spirit." Walk in the Spirit. So Galatians 5 and 16, he says, "Walk, to walk in the Spirit." The Amplified says, "To walk habitually." It needs to become a habit in our lives to walk in the Holy Spirit. Seek him and be responsive to his guidance. I thought that was very good. How responsive are we to the Holy Spirit? How keen are our senses, you might say, to the Holy Spirit tonight? When the Holy Spirit is working to guide and direct us and help us through this life, how keen are we and how habitually are we walking in the Holy Spirit? By having the Holy Spirit active in our and working in our lives, there are fruits. There are fruits that Paul talked about here that every Christian ought to produce. So, in this list, Paul names love as the first fruit. And we studied this a little bit, and it says that all the other fruits, and we want to make this point that all the other fruits are founded on first fruit of love. All these are founded on the first fruit of love. If we don't have the love of God working in our lives like it ought to be working, then all these other fruits that come along that he has named, the joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those things will not be active in working in our lives if we don't have love. We don't have love. Again, in Matthew 22 and 37 through 40, remember that Jesus is saying here that first we must love God. We must love God. We must love God supremely. He should be at the apex of our lives. He should be the one that we look to, the one that we love supremely. You know, we can love others. I love my wife, but I've got to love God more. I love my children, but I've got to love God more. And so we've got to love God supremely. We must love God. And then second, the second commandment was to love our neighbor. To love our neighbor as ourself. So, if our love for God is where it ought to be, we ought to love others as God wants us to. So let's take a look at the second fruit that Paul listed tonight, and that is joy. Joy. You know, Sister Sherry and I were talking this morning, and most people, how is joy associated? How is joy associated? How would we associate, if I say that you have joy, what do most people associate joy with? Happiness. Sister Shannon over here smiling. Okay? She's smiling. But a lot of times we associate joy with an emotion. I'm feeling happy today. I'm feeling joyful today. But we want to study a little bit tonight. Is that what joy really is? And it can be. It could be, what do you want to say, an outflow of something good happening in our life, or maybe we're just happy or whatever it might be. But joy goes deeper than that. Joy goes deeper than that. So, Merriam-Webster defines joy as the emotion evoked by well-being, by success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. We all get happy when we get a new car, right? Aren't we really, really happy until at least the first dent comes along? True? We're very, very happy. Or if we get the latest Xbox game, we're pretty happy, some of us are. Okay? Some of you that are gamers. We're very, very happy. Might even say that we're joyful until we get bored with it, right? And we could think of a lot of things that really make you happy. Maybe some good food makes a lot of people happy. But what happens when it's all gone and you're laying there with a bellyache? It's not too joyful at that particular point, right? So, sometimes those emotions that we associate joy with, those things fade. And sometimes they fade very quickly. Would you agree? We do. It fades very, very quickly. It fades very, very quickly. And so, I think sometimes many believe, again, if we're happy, we're smiling, we've got joy, we're laughing all the time. But that's not always true. We all have burdens, right? We all have trials. We all have situations. And sometimes joy is, in the word joy or the meaning of joy, sometimes is just associated with everyday life. We have many happy, joyful moments. There are times, though, when life throws us a curveball. Would you agree? Sometimes things just come along that we don't expect. Something breaks down. I know some people have had quite a few car problems lately. We know people that are going through very, very difficult circumstances as far as our health is concerned. There are situations that come along in this life that sometimes we just don't expect them to come along. But does that mean that we lose our joy over it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There are times when we don't feel like smiling and we don't feel so happy and joyful. But does that mean that we've lost our joy? No. No. And if we lose our joy over that, then we better dig a little deeper. Better dig a little deeper. So, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. And again, this is Paul writing. Paul is writing here and he's saying, "Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in our affliction and distressed by your faith." So in other words, he's saying there, I'm comforted. Even though that I'm in affliction, I'm in trials, I'm in trouble, I am comforted by your faith. He is getting joy. He is getting joy out of people growing spiritually. He goes on to say, "For we now live," and another version says, "in spite of everything, if ye stand fast in the Lord, and for what thanks we can render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God." And so again, even though Paul was going through difficulty in his own life, he found joy in those who are coming along in the faith. You know, even though that maybe Sister Sherry and I are going through, you know, she's going through some health struggles and those sorts of things right now,
But any time that we see spiritual growth, any time that we see things going on, we are joyful. We are happy because we see growth in our young people. We see that. And again, if you have young people in the young people's group, those of us that are spiritual, we want to see growth. We're happy and joyful to see ones go to an altar of prayer. We're happy to see, or we're joyful to see ones coming to, you know, to an experience of salvation. Or we see young people growing in the things of God and drawing closer to the things, drawing closer to God. Vines goes, and also in our trials and hard times, we can find joy in those that are gaining in their experience with God, just like Paul was. So Vines goes on to say, experiences of sorrow prepare for and enlarge our capacity for joy. Think, how in the world can sorrow prepare us for and enlarge us for the capacity of joy? Well, let's read 2 Corinthians, and we're going to start. We want to kind of, what do you want to say, pull out verse 4 here, but I want to read verses 1 through 7. Verses 1 through 7. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. But I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We had been troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. And so, I want to point out verse 4 here. In the Amplified, it says, great is my confidence in you. Great is my pride and boasting on your behalf. I am filled to the brim with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in spite of all our trouble. And so, I thought as I was reading this, how can Paul, being troubled on every side, be overflowing with joy for others? How can he be overflowing with joy? And so verse 6 says, but God who comforts and encourages the depressed and the disquieted comforted us by the arrival of Titus. And so it is God, young people, it is God working through others. You know, by Titus coming, he was comforted by that. He was joyful in that. And so how can we apply this to us tonight? How can we apply this to us tonight? There are times when we are down and discouraged. Would you agree with that? Are there times that we are just down and we are discouraged? Has anybody never been down or discouraged? If so, I want to know what your secret is. But there are times when we go through life that we get down and discouraged. How often has somebody come to you and said, you know what, God has laid you on my heart? Or somebody sent you a text and says, God laid you on my heart, and I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. How often have we been encouraged by that? Or maybe a card. We get a card from somebody who says, you know, I know you're going through a tough time, and And I just want to let you know that I appreciate you. Have you ever had that happen to you before? Anybody? I know there's people in here that's had that happen. How does it make you feel? It brings comfort to you, right? That brings comfort to you. Why? Because you know that somebody in the family of God is reaching out to you. They care for you, and they want you to know that they are praying for you. That's what joy is. That's what joy is. And as we go through, I just want to throw this out here tonight. As we go through difficult times and you have somebody reach out to you and say, you know, I'm praying for you. I want you to know that I appreciate you. Don't forget that. Why? Because again, just like we said earlier, experiences of sorrow, and this is what Vine says, experiences of sorrow prepare us for and enlarge our capacity for joy. So in other words, sometimes we have to go through some things in this life so we understand that when people reach out to us and when people send us a card or send us a text, us, hey, I am praying for you, that you can turn around and do that for somebody else. Why? Because that brings not only joy to the person that you're sending it to, but it also brings joy in your heart that you know that you're doing something that, you know, again, we're the hands and feet of God, right? We're here to encourage one another. We're here to lift each other up. And that brings joy to both sides of the equation. Brings joy to both sides of the equation. That's what joy is. That's what joy is tonight. Also, persecution. You think, how in the world does persecution bring joy? Anybody here love to be persecuted? Anybody? Anybody love to be made fun of? Anybody love to be teased? No! No! I think Sister Shane would smile all the time. If somebody was making fun of her, somebody just smile. And Sister Shane would just smile. Anyway. I don't think any of us like to be persecuted. All right, so persecution for Christ's sake enhances joy. Let's turn to Acts. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 41. So Acts chapter 5, verse 41. And it says here, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. So here we have an account where Peter and the apostles were brought before the council for preaching and healing in the name of Jesus. And in the end, they were beaten and commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus again. But what did verse 41 say? And they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. Now, how many, after you've gotten beaten, feel like rejoicing? Anybody? After you get corrected or chastised or whipped? Have you ever? I've gotten plenty of spankings in my lifetime. And I didn't feel like rejoicing afterwards. But they left the council and they were rejoicing. That's real joy welling up there. They were rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ's name. And so, young people, if we've got joy working like like it should be working in our lives, when we are persecuted, when we are made fun of, when we are going through severe trials that maybe somebody is just really, really putting our feet to the fire, we should be counting it what it said here, worthy that we should suffer persecution. Why? Because we are Christians. We are living for God. That's what joy is about tonight. Young people, persecution is never easy to face. But when we know that we are pleasing God and doing the right thing, it will bring joy to our hearts. Why? Because we know that we are pleasing God. Romans 12 and verse 15. Also, it says here, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Throughout the Bible, God himself is the ground for and the object for our joy tonight. And let me go back to this one verse. And we know that, you know, when people, I think about sometimes, you know, all down through my life, sometimes good things happen, right? Good things happen to you and you think, wow, I wish that would happen to me. But the Bible's saying here, you know, rejoice with them that are rejoicing. Maybe somebody's gotten a victory. Maybe somebody has gone through a really, really hard place. I think about Sister Debbie Lake. She's gone through a really, really hard place this last month. We can rejoice because God has moved on her, right? Those that have been healed, we can rejoice with them that have been healed. But also, those that are hurting tonight, maybe they lose a loved one. Maybe they're going through a difficult time in this life. Maybe they suffer loss. We weep with them too. That's what joy is about. That's what joy is about. Because we have God's presence. We have God's Spirit working within us in such a way that we can rejoice when ones are rejoicing. We can be happy for them. Because God has done something for them, but also when they're going through hard times, we can weep with them. We can weep with them. We can pray. But again, my last thought here tonight throughout the Bible, God himself is the ground and object of the believer's joy. And so, young people, tonight, it is God. It is God working through our lives, the Holy Spirit being active in our lives tonight, that we have joy. If we don't have God, we don't have true joy. Let me say that again. If we do not have God and the Holy Spirit active and working in our lives, we don't have true joy tonight. And so, how's our joy tonight? How's our joy tonight? Again, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talked about. Joy. Psalm 35 and 9 says, and my soul shall be joyful in who? The Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah 61 and 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as the bride adorneth herself with her jewels. And so, we can be joyful. Why? Because we have salvation tonight. We have the privilege of living for God. When we go through trials, when we go through situations in this life, we can still have joy. Our joy, young people, I'll say it again, must be grounded in God. If we're to have true joy tonight, we have got to have it grounded in God tonight. If not, we don't have joy. We don't have true joy. We don't have lasting joy. And so tonight, how's your joy? How's your joy? Is your joy rooted in God tonight? Or is it, a lot of times, is our joy, you might say, based on emotions, based on how we feel? Because I tell you, there's ones that I work with at the altar that says, I just don't feel saved. Can we go on that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We've got to stand on more than that. We've got to stand on more than emotion. We've got to stand on more than just what we feel. We've got to have that joy down in our heart tonight, and it's got to be rooted and grounded in God. We appreciate you tonight. We want to see you draw up close to God. We want you to be successful in the things of God. So we appreciate you tonight. We're thankful for you. And we want you to prosper in the things of God. That's what we want you to do. You know, it's nice to have a good job. It's nice to have a nice car. It's nice to have all those things. But how much more important it is to make sure that you're prosperous in the things of God. And that's what gives us joy tonight, is to see you prosper in the things of God.